We're picking up where we left off, kind of in the middle, actually. We'd gotten through the first 10 verses of the last chapter of 2 Timothy, and this should conclude it today, starting with verse 11. Only Luke is with me. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And here we see again, you know, that those of the circumcision would help Paul after they saw that Israel had fallen and that God had started offering salvation directly to the Gentiles without going through Israel, in other words, as Alex was just saying. The Gentiles that believed that Christ had died for their sins and resurrected for their justification. Nothing about works in there. Just that Christ died for our sins, and that pays it. That was sufficient. God didn't fall short in saving us. After Mark went not with them to the work, remember in Acts, that was 14, somewhere in that area, Acts 14, it says Mark went, well, actually it was in 15, wasn't it, when they were choosing who would go for the second, go back to see all the churches and bring, build them up in the Lord. They were choosing, and Barnabas wanted to take Mark, which apparently was his nephew, And Paul said, no, I don't want to take him who went not with us to the work. And that's another reference to a dispensation of the gospel during that period, before the dispensation of the grace of God, when they were going according to prophecy. Paul was going to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It's in prophecy. It's in Habakkuk 1:5. So, but after that all happened, it's good to hear that Paul could use Mark for the work of the body of Christ, even though the Bible does not say whether or not Mark had become part of the remnant according to the election of grace, or whether he was still part of the remnant, the prophetic remnant, Peter, James, John, the little flock, etc. So here we see again the importance of propagating the ministry, of passing it on, work and mentoring, working with those in the body of Christ and those that are coming in, or in that case, that was a brief period that would happen, where Israel, people from Israel and in Israel's doctrine called, it says called in circumcision in 1 Corinthians 7:18, where those people would help in the body of Christ. They're just not around anymore. They've gone extinct. You know, at the end of their life, that was the end of that church. They had pledged in Galatians 2:9 not to add to the church, but just to minister to the true circumcision that was already part of their church. So let's read it again. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And remember that the work was a dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And it went from Acts 13:2 through Acts 20, verse 6. If we take a look at those verses in Acts 13, and if somebody can post these, it would help, the first four verses in Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. What is it? 5 people. Prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. Talking about the rest of that group there. The other three, it would be Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen laid their hands on Barnabas and Saul. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. So that's man's sending. That lasted until Acts 14:26, when they had completed that sending. But look at the next verse. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So they go on their way, also sent by the Holy Ghost. And that didn't end with that first round trip there. That continued all the way until the dispensation of the grace of God. So you've got both sendings there. Ascending from men in, in verse 3. And ascending by the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, in verse 4. The work continued until it was expanded to the ministry. The ministry which Paul has received, remember in Acts 20:24. He received it in Acts 20:6, and he reported it in Acts 20:24. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me. I'm sorry, I didn't say that clearly. I didn't mean it to sound like neither count I my wife dear unto me. I better read it again. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. So here's something additional. He had the course before from Acts 13. Here it is, Acts 20. And the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The ministry was from the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God. And it extends from Acts 20:6 until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ that was reviewed in the just previous lesson there in Romans 11:25. So you can see Paul identifies the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God to all men. And we can see it more clearly if you look again. I think we did this earlier, but let's do it again. Philippians 4:15. Philippians 4:15 says, tells us when the beginning of that gospel was. It doesn't name the gospel, but, well, look at it. You can tell it's not the gospel of Christ that was, you know, all the way from at least, well, Paul was saved by it, so that's Acts 9. He didn't preach it until Acts 13, but, well, let's read the verse. Philippians 4:15. Now you Philippians know also that at in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. And that's the important part we want to see there. Let me finish the verse, though. No church communicated me with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. But we see here that Paul says there was the beginning of the gospel when Paul departed from Macedonia. And just as confirmation, let me just put up there this verse in between, and then we'll get to Acts 20:6, if you can get that one ready. We're going to look at this verse that tells us where Philippi is. From thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. So when we look at Acts 20:6, and we sailed away from Philippi, he's sailing away from Philippi, Macedonia. And Philippians 4:15 just said, the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia. So it's in Acts 20:6 that he's talking about being the beginning of the gospel. And this is Acts 20, so the gospel of Christ began with Paul in Acts 9 and with Paul's preaching in Acts 13. They were already in place. It wasn't that. The only gospel added after that was the gospel of the grace of God, which is the same saving message. I mean, Paul calls it in 1 Timothy, he calls it my gospel. And back in Romans, twice in Romans, he calls it my gospel. So they're both the same gospel. And Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13, you've got the people during Acts being to the praise of his glory. And then you've got those who also trusted after they had heard that would be the people after the end of Acts heard the gospel and were saved. That's the same gospel, in other words. There it is. This is Paul talking about the Acts Christians, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also. Now he's talking about those that came to believe that same gospel after the end of Acts. That ye, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you trusted, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And it goes on to describe the Holy Spirit of promise as the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. The catching up of the body of Christ, in other words. We're sealed until then. We're sealed until Christ comes and draws us up into heaven. Amen. Welcome to the room. So, we can see that Acts 20, verse 6, Paul is referring to as the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God. Going on, verse 11, once more now. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Verse 12, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Verse 13, the cloak that I left with Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. So it shows that Paul did suffer at least coldness in the dungeon there. Colossians 1:24, if we can just look at that briefly, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. For the church, not to bring unbelievers, you know, not. He's not suffering for our sins. Christ only did that. But he's suffering to get the message out. Let's go on to 2 Timothy 4:13. The cloak that I left with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. The parchments. Take the example. Paul was still studying the Word of God. Throughout this dispensation of the grace of God, our main resource and final authority is the preserved, pure Word of God that we've got in our King James Bible. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. This is verse 14. The Lord reward him according to his works. Does that remind you of Romans 10, 19, I think it is? I think that's the very verse. No, that's not it. That's not it. Where is that verse? 10, 12, 13. No, that's not it. I'm in the wrong place. 14, 19, maybe. No, I don't remember where it is. But it's the verse that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Love thine enemy. I think it is in chapter 14 there somewhere. But, so, he's putting that thought into action, that verse into action here, isn't he? The Lord reward him according to his works. I'm not going to try and get back at him. I'm not going to be mad at him. The Lord will take care of him. And that's the way it is with us. You know, we're called on to witness, to preach the word, not to convert people, not to persuade them, not to make them believe, or to make them see. Well, anyway, Paul gave a specific heads up to Timothy, didn't he, about Alexander the coppersmith. But it also appears to us in a general sense, it appears to be to us, according to the warnings in verses peppered throughout 2 Timothy that we've already covered. Let's see, I got six of them listed here. They're all 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. Chapter 1, verse 15. Chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. And then verses 14 to 18. Chapter 2, verses 20 through chapter 3, verse 13. And then chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. All talking about these warnings, these alerts. Watch out. You know, people are going to get worse and worse. The unbelievers will. They'll have itchy ears. That's somewhere in that section there, I think, isn't it? Yeah, there it is right there. 2 Timothy 4:3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? It's the words of Paul for us. For Israel, it was the words of Jesus. And the circumcision, the law of Moses, and all those. But for us, it's the words of Paul. Because Christ spoke to us through Paul. So we're following Christ's pattern by listening to Paul and taking the instructions that Christ gave us through Paul. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They shall be turned unto fables. We were just talking about that earlier, weren't we? About rooms where they you could just about say they make up things as if it was the Bible saying it. Or they extrapolate further than what the Bible says. Let's go on 2 Timothy 4:15, working our way through to the end of 2 Timothy. Welcome to the room. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Still talking about Alexander. And Paul suffered, and that previews our lot, what's coming to us too, as we seek and work in the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God, to make all men see. What is that gospel? That gospel is a mystery, that it went to all people, even those that were cursed in Genesis 12:3. That's why those Jews in Acts 22:22 exploded, because how could God save those that he promised to curse? Israel had fallen. They had dropped their side of the covenant. 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And I can see that this is related to all those in Asia have forsaken me. Meaning, not necessarily meaning every single person of the population of that province of Asia in Turkey, but being limited by this. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. That would be all the people that heard him give that speech then. So we can see Paul's first answer in Acts 22, verses 3 through 24, where he describes his salvation experience and then tells his sending, his second sending, the sending to us, to all people. So let's look at some of those verses. Starting in Acts 22, verse 1, we'll go through verse 6 here, and then we'll jump down to 17. But men, this is Acts 22, 1. Men, brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept more silence, and he saith, this is verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. Verse 4, and I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Verse 5, also, as also the high priest doth bear me witness. Remember, the high priest was there in Acts 7:1, when Saul participated in the stoning of Stephen, the fall of Israel there, blaspheming the Holy Ghost, the words of the Holy Ghost coming out of the mouth of Stephen. As also doth the high priest bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey, so he's going on the road to Damascus, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. So when Paul finishes telling about his Damascus road salvation and the pattern from Christ that Christ set up for him and for us, he continues telling about a later experience in Jerusalem's temple. He says in verse 17 and 18, we'll go on down through about five verses here, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, so we know it wasn't his first trip there, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Paul's under orders to get up and run, get out of Jerusalem quickly. Do not ignore that that crucial statement in the Word of God, or the indicators in the context about the timing of that event, when it happened. pardon me just a minute. When that temple vision occurred. There's only one of the trips that Paul made to Jerusalem that fits that pattern, that's allows for him to have run out of the city that day. Immediately, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. There's only one that fits that. And that's in Acts 18. But Paul continues in that during that temple vision and says in verse 19, Acts 22:19, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. That's how he participated. Verse 21, and he said unto me, God said unto Paul, depart, for I will, that's future tense, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And that was the first answer that Paul was talking about. No man stood with me, but all men forsook me at my first answer. So the following verses that come after that, that was verse 21. The next few verses tell what Paul was referring to. Look at what happened. As soon as he said, I will send, that God told him, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles, not the Greeks, not those Israel blessing Gentiles, but the heathen alien Gentiles. They gave him audience unto this word, Goyim, the Gentiles, the ones that were not blessing Israel, not coming to the synagogues. Far hence unto the Gentiles, the ethnos, not the Hellen, not the Greeks. And in Acts 22, Paul testified that in Acts 20, Christ had told him the ethnos, I got it misspelled here in my notes and I'm messing it up, but the foreign, the pagan, the heathen Gentiles, the rest of the Gentiles that were not coming to God through Israel, not blessing Israel. Finally, salvation message was expanded to cover all men, to be preached to all men. Paul was being sent to all men, regardless of whether he had gone to some of the heathen Gentiles before or not. And I think it can be shown that he did not go to them. But regardless, that's not the point. The point is his sending had been to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now his sending, Christ sent him to all people after this Acts 20. Well, the temple vision was in Acts 18, but verse 22. But the sending came in Acts 20, verse 6, the beginning of the gospel, when I sailed away from Macedonia. And here he is two chapters later in Acts 22 telling the Jews about it. And it says, then they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. Excuse me again, please. Excuse me just a minute here. Oh, I see. We finished 15, right? Let's go to 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. This is 2 Timothy 4:17. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. For what purpose did the Lord stand with Paul and strengthen Paul? Why did he? It goes on, that by me the preaching might be fully known, not just to the Jews and the Greeks. And why? What further purpose did the Lord stand with Paul and strengthen Paul? Why did he do that? That all the Gentiles might hear. And that includes all the Gentiles, the Greeks, the aliens, the barbarians, those that had heard and those that hadn't heard that you could bless Israel and get a blessing from God. By the way, that stopped when Israel fell in Acts 7. You didn't get a blessing by blessing Israel anymore, because Israel didn't have that special in with God anymore. So he's talking here, all the Gentiles is not merely Gentiles that Paul was sent to in Acts 13. According to 2 Timothy 4:17, at the time the Lord stood by Paul in Acts 22, there had been new resistance because of Paul's new gospel of the grace of God to all men. Some people look at Acts 9:15 as if that's ascending. That's not ascending. Look at Acts 9:15 was ascending, then Paul was disobedient to that sending to go to the Gentiles, to the kings, and to, could we see that? Acts 9:15. Go to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel, because he went to the children of Israel first. He didn't go to kings until we get to Acts 23:11. Look at the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And soon after that, he appeared before King Agrippa, and that fulfilled Acts 9:15. Acts 9:15 says, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. This is God, this is Christ speaking to Ananias in Damascus, and he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Well, you can see that that's not the order he went in. He didn't disobey God by doing that. That's the order of importance. Look at it. We've got, what, 19 centuries of the gospel going to Gentiles. And after it went to the Jew first and also to the Greek, being the children of Israel at the end of the verse, after that, he went to kings. So they're shuffled. It was not ascending, is what we're showing here. That was not the sending. It was a foretelling that he would. It was like a preview of his biography of his life. These things are things that I've chosen him as a chosen vessel to do during his life, is what he's laying out here. And so we see here in Acts 23:11 was the first time that Paul went to kings, or was even told that he was being sent to kings. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. And in Acts 26:22, Paul refers to this same help of the Lord. Having therefore obtained help of God, the Lord stood by him, I continue unto this day, from the time of Paul's being charged unto that day that he's talking right there, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So that was his ministry then during those days after he got arrested. And he was talking just to those in the Roman government and to Jews. He would say the gospel of God is basically what it is. That there was a Christ that would come, a Messiah. That he would be the Son of God. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And that he would rise from the dead. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. So he testified those things to the those that had him in captivity, I guess you could say. And he says, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Does that remind you of Acts 26:17? Delivering thee from the people. There's another deliverance, isn't it? He said, well, let me go back a verse. Acts 26:16 is what we're looking for here. Acts 26:16, it says, but rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister both, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee, there's the deliverance, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. Who is he delivering him from? From the people and the Gentiles. And he says, unto whom now I send thee. So that tells us who that first sending was to. The people and the Gentiles from whom Christ had to deliver Paul. And you can see one deliverance right there in Acts 14. Verse 19 and 20, where he's stoned by the people that came back, came chasing him down the road from Iconium, I guess it was, or from Antioch of Pisidia, the ones that didn't like his message, and they stoned him to death. And that's the Jewish law. If you're going to stone him, you have to stone him to death. And yet, he had a revelation, apparently, at that time, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord delivered him from them. He brought him back to life. So, I don't know if you can see the connection there, the Lord delivering Paul. Paul had been sent to those from whom Jesus was going to deliver him. In Acts 9, that was the people, the Jews, that did not yet believe the gospel of God. They were apostate. They believed that Jesus was a fraud. And it was the Gentiles that did not yet believe the gospel of God. And that same gospel being, you know, that Jesus is their Messiah. And that the Lord had the Godhead had resurrected him. Let's go on to 2 Timothy 4:18, working our way through to the end of the chapter. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Since at the late time, of the writing of 2 Timothy, Jesus sent Paul to those from whom he would deliver him. And since 2 Timothy 4:18 says, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, that indicates to me that Jesus had then sent Paul to every man. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Remember in Acts 26:17 that we just read, Paul says that in Acts 9, Jesus said he was sending him at that time, I now send thee, to those from whom he would deliver him, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So starting in Acts 9, there were some Jews and some Gentiles to whom Jesus sent Paul, from whom Jesus would deliver Paul. And you can find that five times through the book of Acts, where the Lord is delivered from a certain kind of people, and those are the ones to whom he was sent before he was sent to all people like us in Acts 20. And this is, let me just see if we need to go into this or if it's a rabbit trail. Hold on a minute. It's a specific sending. That Acts 13 sending was to specific people. It was to the ones, people like those that the Lord would have to deliver Paul from. And there's another limiter for those same people. They're ones that would be in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy. I want what those Jews and Greeks have, you know, what they heard from Paul and believed. They're saved now. We have to wait. You know, they had to wait until Christ returned to blot out their sins, Acts 3:19 and 20. But it doesn't say that at that Acts 13 sending, Paul was sent to all the Gentiles. It says to Gentiles, yes, but not to all of them. It says to those from whom Jesus would deliver Paul. So, but by the time of 2 Timothy 4:18, Jesus told Paul to preach not only to the Jews and the Jew blessers, those Greeks, but to every evil work from which the Lord would deliver him. Of course, when Paul was to go, you know, to be with the Lord, when he was executed, when he was no longer delivered after that, of course, but the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's go on to verse, we're getting down to the end here. Verse 19, 2 Timothy 4:19. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. And then verse 20, this is a good verse. Well, they're all good, but Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus I left at Miletum sick. And here is one of the great contrasts between the kingdom gospel, the kingdom church, with Peter, James, you know, John, Thomas, Philip, all of those in the little flock, between that church and the church which is the body of Christ, with Paul preaching and Timothy and Barnabas. Look what they had to be like in Leviticus 21:18 to get into the temple it's talking about. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous. Well, those, okay, the Lord Jesus, one of the signs of the coming of the Messiah was that he would cleanse Israel from all these sicknesses. That's why you have the healings in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus came with that as a proof that he was the Messiah. He healed people. Well, in, you know, although in Acts 28, verses 8 and 9, Paul had powers to heal, he healed many people. I think it said they'd send him handkerchiefs, wasn't it, or something? We better look at that if I'm going to talk about it. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. So that's not the place about the handkerchiefs. That was somewhere else. But he did healings there. But he did, though, not, that was not body of Christ healings. That was signs of an apostle healings. Israel had fallen, and they were nigh unto being cast away in the next few verses after that in Acts 28. But here in 2 Timothy, after the end of Acts, 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul had to leave Trophimus at Miletum sick. He could not heal him. That's a big difference between the proof that Jesus was the Messiah and that this was the kingdom of God being put in place on earth with the little flock, you know, between that and the later, the body of Christ, with the revelation after Christ had ascended back to heaven, the revelation of many revelations, really, an abundance of revelations, Paul calls it, given to Paul for us about our pattern, his pattern for us to be saved today. So, going on to 2 Timothy 4:21, do thy diligence to come before winter. Remember, he still wanted that cloak. It was cold down there in that prison. The cloak that I left with at Troas with Carpus when thou comest. He wanted it brought. Paul was trying to prepare for a cold winter in prison. He had asked Timothy to bring his cloak, and now do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Finally, the last verse, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. And that's the end of 2 Timothy, and Paul's last words about how to spread the gospel and keep it going and pass on that sound doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ had revealed to Paul to write down in Romans through Philemon for us to follow. So, I'm done from this lesson. Let's see what questions might have arisen.